Welcome to Redeeming Qualities. Oh my God, this is terrible. Welcome to Redeeming Qualities, the podcast that shows that this is not how men speak, but this is how friends speak. I am Fat as Fez. With me are Musty Ass Mark and Dirty Ass Dan.
What's cracking?
Yep, go ahead and introduce yourselves.
It is Musty Mark indeed, man. I haven't worn no deodorant today, man. I'm super funky. What's cracking?
It's Dirty Dan, and I am actually the opposite today. Woke up, freshly showered. I'm all ready for the day.
I am also not freshly showered. I went to the gym, so it is potent down there, in case the audience was wondering.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and just jump into this Chinese social rating, which was brought to us by Joshua. He wanted to see how the Redeeming Qualities podcast thought about Chinese social rating.
Do you want to start? Who wants to start talking about this, actually?
Best, kick it off.
Yeah.
I'll go in. So the Chinese social rating, basically, it's kind of a dystopian thing. Like, I've seen, like, a Black Mirror episode. I've seen, like, an Orville episode. But basically, they're using a social media type thing where your behavior determines your social status, and it also determines your basically being blacklisted, all of these different things. And so really you're dependent on everybody's dependent on your ability to rate them. So that's the down and dirty of it. So what do you guys think about that type of thing, being able to have a say in other people's? Or what would you be your redeeming quality about this type of?
No. Fuck the redeeming quality. I'm gonna talk about shit on it first, and then maybe
shit on it first.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So, you listen to my dad's podcast, the podcast with my dad on it. He works for one of the bureaus, the credit bureaus, and I asked him, "Hey, China has this fucking credit system right now that judges your locations, your spending habits, your social media, your internet searches, your all these things to come up with this whole personality thing and gives you a rating on it. And it stops people from being able to make purchases, or it affects their lives in these certain ways. You know what I'm saying? And it's just a really technological way to control and track us. Now, we're already balls deep in being tracked and followed all the time. So let's not act like we're really country or wild men, wildlings anymore. We're not that. But at the same time, I asked him, "Hey, what's the chance that that's going to come?" You know, because I remember a mentioning, and it may not have been from him, but of like there being a unified credit system. An international credit system of some sort. So that raised my eyebrow, and I asked him about it. And you know, if you listened, his answer was, "I don't see that happening, you know what I'm saying, anytime soon. Of course, credit is getting more important, but it's just like, I think that, you know, there's other things in mind in the American people," or blah, 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 blah. Like, we won't go for it. You know, we're not going to try and lean towards, luckily there are people that will fight against that, you know, and in the voting system for that. But do I think that shit is trash and I think it's terrible? Yes. Do I think that we should be judging people off of their like, credit is only your ability to pay money back. So that was the main thing. Yeah. Like, the way credit is, but it's not like overall your moral choices. So that's the difference between us and China in general. Go ahead. Sorry.
So I was going to say, so to counterpoint that, we have a few things within our credit system that kind of seem a little flawed. The first being let me wrap my head around these words. The first one is you have to go into debt to establish credit. Like, if you don't want anything, you have zero credit. If you've never purchased anything that required a credit background or any large purchases, or if you just do that large purchase with just cash, you have no credit. You have no ability to pay stuff back, even though you pay for everything. So I think there's a flaw within our credit system there. And the second thing... Go ahead, Danny, on that.
But that's essentially you're arguing credit by saying like what credit exactly is. Like,
of course
you can't establish credit if you haven't had to borrow, because credit is how trustworthy are you to borrow from.
And that's the beauty of the Chinese social rating. It says, hey, these are their parents. The parents are doctors. all of these different things. They come from this background. This is the way they interact with me. Hey, I borrowed $20 from Mark. Mark paid me back within 2 weeks. He's a good person. He does these type of things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So why do we have to borrow from banks to establish our credit? Why do we have to get money from somebody who's going to charge us a massive amount of interest to establish that we're good at paying stuff back?
That's exactly why they want to kill cryptocurrency, because the government's not going to get money. It's all about money, where the money goes, right? But, so like China doing that, is it a bad thing? Probably, but we already do that.
No, right. China's putting the credit, social credit rating out of the banks and into the hands of the people. So China's not doing that.
Oh, you're saying it's not the government that's doing the social rating system.
Whoa. The government is implementing the social rating system.
Then China is doing it. Then it's not the people.
But like, America, hold on, let's get on the same point. America has the banks do it. All of the credit unions or that you get graded on, they're banking systems.
Yeah, but okay, but if so, the difference between America and China, isn't it that China, there's a total difference. Like for us, it's like we the people. So when it's the people, we are the government ourselves. We're a big part of it, right? But China is not that same situation. They don't have the same voting system and things like that. So it's the separation between the people and the control, right? For the whole way that they're set up and everything. So by their, the banks, yes, the banks have too much control right now. That's why cryptocurrency and these people that can get rich just off of technology, which is empowering us all. But over there, it's a total different situation that they're in with their government. Am I wrong? Or?
Well, no, you're absolutely not wrong. But what all I was trying to say is if you where would you rather put your money into? Would you rather put it to people in the government? Or sorry, not your money, your credit score, your ability to borrow and pay back. Would you rather put it with the government and the people, or would you rather put it in the hands of the banks? Because basically, that's the real question we're asking. The banks want more control over you. And China is actually trying to get away from the banks by putting it in the hands of the people in the government.
Is that because China wants to eliminate the banks from their system because the government isn't getting enough? Like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's what it has to do with. Like, it's the Chinese government is like, hey, yeah, private banks get too much money. We can do this.
But if you strip it away from governments and you take away China, you take away America from it. You just boil it down to person A has to pay bank back more money to establish credit to borrow money from bank. Or you take it as person B has his family and friends rate him and determine if he would be a good candidate to borrow X amount of dollars. What, I mean, if you just boil it down to that, what do you think sounds better?
I mean, I think that that's exactly how things work right now. Like if I came up to you and Mark and I was like, yo, I need like 3 G's. Can you spot me? I think you would be able to come up with a decision.
Danny, you're trying to put apples to oranges. Our loan system isn't me going to you borrowing $3,000.
I know our loan system does not operate that way. I realize if I want to go to a bank, I have that option. And I'm like, I can't.
I'm just saying the ability to borrow a large amount of money, you have to go to a bank. China is trying to eliminate that requirement.
I guess I'm not.
Buy a rating system.
To the topic.
By rating you on your everyday. And it's not just your people around you, though. It's
but
a judgment system that's still very much by the government. Like, if I look at porn, now I can't get a loan?
I see what you're saying. But let's just think about it like the Uber system. The Uber system operates in a way where you're socially rated on your ability to take a place or if people want to pick you up or accept you. Do you think the Uber system is broken more than the banking system is what you should ask yourself?
Okay. Would I like to work in a world where it's like the Uber system? Well, people are flawed. People are flawed,
but it goes both ways. The person driving rates and the person who's the customer receiving the service rates. I think it is not a perfect system because especially with the entitlement, the professional victims, all of these different type of people. But on the whole, you remove these bad actors, which would, you know, if multiple services along the way happen, I think you could start to get a real picture of a piece of shit person.
But that could, I think that we'd see problems too. I mean, we'd definitely see issues. There'd be people that maybe just have ugly faces. You just see like pretty people get better judgment again. You know what I'm saying? You'd see, it'd be a liking system. Hot people would have a lot of followers and ugly people would not even have any ratings. It would be like, you know what I'm saying? I think that if you had to be judged off every interaction you have, what if that person was going through fucking some trauma or that person had just a bad day, you know? And now, yeah, they're being shitty. What if that person's in pain? You know? I don't know, man.
I got one more point to throw out there. Let's take it back to the 1960s and 70s when a black person who earned $15,000 a year and a white person who earned $10,000 a year based off the bank, the white person who made less got a better interest rate.
Yeah, you're talking about redlining. Yeah.
Which I'm absolutely talking about it. Now, the institutions that are still around have people that were there when redlining was a thing.
Yes. So, and the median household now, the median household is separated because these people were able to pass down this wealth of that time. Yes.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is I think we need to reduce the arrogance of America in the population, like saying, oh, it's China. China's fucked up. China does a lot of fucked up things. I agree. But I'm just saying that because it's our system, I don't think it's necessarily better.
Well.
And Danny, I would also like a $3,000 loan. I'm just saying, my credit's good.
Chinese people have Muslims, Christians and Muslims, is it? It's Muslims in concentration camps right now. Do they not?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and big corporations are still fucking buying their products and they're using Muslims as fucking slave labor. Dude.
Come on.
And you got sports athletes out there rocking products by companies that do this shit. And people who want to talk about like support your people.
Arguments. Those are straw man arguments.
Hell.
I'm saying, how is it? We're talking about banking systems. And hold on before you jump on this. We're not talking about the human trafficking that's going on. We're not talking about Jeffrey Epstein's island when we're comparing America to China, but we're going to go ahead and jump on that when we compare China to America. That's a straw man, man. We have so much fucked up shit that's going on right now today in our country that is not the basis of most of the people.
Okay, but the people that the government is allowing for concentration camps to go on and they're putting a credit system of morals on the same government that's allowing that to happen,
right?
I say no. That is connected. Those are definitely connected. So if they allow that, how can you judge me, the same government that's allowing that, to judge me from buying anything when you are persecuting people for their faith, which we do not do in America. So that is a total connection. I think that those are differences.
I could see that. All I'm saying if you strip away the country, if you strip away the country and look at A versus B, I would totally vote B over banks. That's just
you
the
think
way
the banks. You think banks are bad, and you trust the people more because it's like you think banks are too tight and control way too much, and there's too much money in that. But you think that you would rather the people
absolutely
judge you.
Like you know, here's a few things that happen right now. For example, when you submit a payment, and it's like, why does it take 3 days for my payment to happen? It's going online. It's instant. Well, a bank will take that and they'll put it in a slush fund. And it takes everybody's first of the month payment for their stuff, puts it in a thing, and then that gets interest instead of taking your payment and putting it towards your principal right away. So you have whatever that Euler number is, that's in all compounding interest. You have 3 days additional principal compounded against you, and the bank is taking that payment and earning money off of your payment while it's
compounding
against
you. Off of the 3 days
of
their processing fee.
Correct.
Yeah, that's some funky bullshit.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I don't trust the banking system. When you have a system that's only to make money with money, come on. That's
That's Chinese... true, but therein, I need my bank to be successful. That's your responsibility as an investor too. Like, you need to choose your banks according to how they operate. Like, the banking system, all of it's fucked, but you can't get away from it. You can be as noble as you want. You can sit there and support every fucking cause, but everybody needs money to get by. It is a representation of your time now. Back in the day, you had to go wake up, fucking kill a moose or gather some fucking berries, and you had to do a bunch of shit just to stay alive. And now people are like, well, why the fuck should I have to get a job? It's like, bitch, because that's how you eat. You're not going out and you're getting nuts for the day. You go to work for 8 hours, you come home, and then that is the representation. That is your contribution to society. So
and I that's can agree why I with understand bitches selling pussy, bro.
Exactly. It is what it is.
Yes.
It is what it is. And people are all like, how the fuck is prostitution illegal? How? Man. How does that even make sense?
Yeah.
It's like I could go rub your back. I could rub your back in a massage parlor and charge you $150. But as soon as I put my dick in you, it's illegal. Like, well, I don't understand.
Because in your scenario,
mine is Ray.
That's the problem. And you just shoved your dick into somebody. I mean, I get what you're saying, though.
Fez is like narrating a cheesy porno over here. I realize I said that. There'd really be some music. Really, there'd be some music.
Mark will go ahead and lay down the
Mark
track.
Will be testing the new beats.
Bow, bow, bow. Oh, but yeah, that was fire. Oh, the redeeming? The redeeming
Let's go
quality of this, that of a social credit score, would be that assholes would finally get what's coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's it. Yeah, they would probably, if they're really assholes, they would act fake in every time and really get away with it still and find sneaky ways to fuck people over, though. So, I mean...
I think that the redeeming quality is people who commit bankruptcy as their get out of jail free card, and 7 years later their credit system is, you know, better. They still can't be an asshole because people are still going to rate them appropriately. That's the redeeming quality I see out of it.
I think the redeeming quality is like China's probable intent is to strip power from the banks. I think it would force banks to operate in a way that's more like more legitimate. Like you say, I mean, we all know that they do these holds on transactions. We know that they hold our funds so that way they can put it into investments and make money off of our money. We know that they don't give us shit return on our savings accounts because they're investing all of our money. But I think stripping some of that power away will force them to be like, okay, well, the world wants like positive change. And like, it seems like 2020, like put us into this. Now we're about like change, right? And we want good causes. I feel like take money and power away from banks and make them operate better. I think that's the only redeeming quality I think of. Strip the banks of some power.
Have you guys ever heard that old song called like Sold My Soul to the Company Store?
Yeah, absolutely. It's 16 Tons by, I think it's Henry Ford.
Dude, such an awesome song where it's like, hey, I needed something, so I had to go to this person, and then I was in debt to them, and then I made this money, but I was still in debt, and the interest happened, and I still have to keep that, you know, going on.
Yeah.
And I kind of just feel like that's the credit system. You go into debt, and then boom, you just sold your soul because you're constantly fighting to get out of debt.
But it's also your responsibility, in a sense, to know that. That's where we as American educators, I feel like, I'm part of the fucking group. But that's where American educators, I feel like, what we choose to focus on educating our children, like, don't get me wrong, those are important things to learn. History, math, English, science, like, all of that stuff is beneficial. But, like, your fucking parents can teach you a lot of basic shit, right? Like, maybe it falls on us to teach it, but, like, we should be learning about taxes and how credit works and all of these things. So when you jump in the real world, you're not just set up. But if they set it up that way, then the 1% doesn't stay the 1%. So they don't want to educate us.
Yeah, we got to be a little stupid now.
It's on us to do it. So ultimately, like, I get it. I could be like, fuck them, fuck the government. But ultimately, like, I feel like the decisions and my outcome in life depends on me. So, like,
I like to whine about shit, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, hey, it's my fault if I fuck up, you know? Like, I had to read, I had to educate myself to do 90% of things. So why would I not do that with money? It's kind of important.
So I think Mark does bring up a good point, like what the government regulates and what they don't. It has always been weird to me that porn is unregulated and prostitution isn't, because I feel like it's prostitution with extra steps.
Right?
What are your thoughts on that, Mark?
You think that porn is prostitution with extra steps?
Yes.
It's sex work. It is sex work. So, yes. I mean, that's it. It's that in the realm of sex work, it's all there. If you ask a sex worker, it's like there, but it's legal because you're not actually touching somebody, but you're fucking for money at the end of the day. Yes. But, you know, you're fucking a certain person so that you can, you know what I'm saying? You're fucking a certain person and you both look super good so that other people like to watch you. You know what I'm saying? And that's a whole like aspect of it. And there's talent and all this shit. But like, hey, like there's not too much difference from, and you see people fall from fucking somebody on Figueroa or Western or whatever street in your town is fucking getting picked up by some guy in a car to some, you know, teeny bopper that's fucking in their college dorm room on OnlyFans in the safety of their fucking college. Am I savage? What?
What?
Am I savage? What? Was that too much?
I felt like this was one of those Chappelle Show moments. It's like, anybody can get in the car and go talk to Louis. Everybody knows Louis has the best shit. It's like a play for play.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, wow. I was like, it was just a play for play. I just made me laugh.
Like, how detailed? What? Like, that sounded like you experienced it yesterday.
Anybody can go like, down Figueroa,
so yesterday,
pass the Yum Yum Donuts, yeah, exactly. See the little bitch with the fro, and fucking says, hey, what you want, mister? And jump out on this. She say, it's going to be $40, and go to the ATM at the...
Okay, you were just too discreet.
But then you only pull out a 20, and you're like, this is all I got, but you've already wasted enough of her time, so she's like, fuck it, let's go.
And then she takes you behind this creepy-ass trap door, and says, bitch, nigga, you better take out some more money, and then she starts kicking your gear shift, and you say, hey, bitch, trying to break my car, and then you say, hey, stop. So then you give me your wallet, you know what I'm saying? And then you say, you better stay out these streets with your cute ass. I don't know who did that happen to.
I feel like I know who it happened to.
No, that never happened to me. This is someone else's story, but it is hilarious. Some dude that I know went to the back of some hotel and to get a fucking blowjob from a prostitute he picked up, and the girl started kicking the fuck out of his gear shift, like, I'm gonna break your shit.
Because he was broke.
No, he already paid her. But then she wanted to rob him. She said, "Give me all your money." He said, "Fuck no, get out of my car." And then she just started kicking his gear shift. And you cannot move your car. And then she was like, "Hey, this nigga started honking his horn and kicking his gear shift, bro."
You know what the funniest part about that is? The first time you said it, I thought you were like gearbox was a fucking innuendo for his fucking junk. I was like, Jesus Christ, that's a hell of a fucking hooker beating the shit out of something.
She is not playing.
It's that already, knowing that you could kick somebody's gear shifts with not that much weight and break their shit, and that's a pressure point to like make somebody hurry up and give you money. That's scary as fuck and gnarly.
Dude, that is crazy, because your car is your fucking lifeline to everything.
Yes.
She's not hurting you. She's destroying your lifeline.
She really is.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to cost me $500 because I'm going to have to pay that deductible.
Not even just that. You're going to be stuck at that place. So then if it's not your car, or if it's your girlfriend's car, why are you there?
Now you're in a shady area. You can't leave the vehicle.
Yes.
Oh, she is smart.
Dude, that's insane.
Smart,
you know what?
Smart woman.
That's what you should do that shit.
We look at the homeless population as like, oh, these lazy people, they can't. A lot of these people are smart and they know how to scam. Know how to take advantage of the system that they're living. Like, we're like, oh, I can never do that. Like, I couldn't physically do it because, you know, I'm fat and I like to eat food, but I couldn't live off the system. They know everything. Like, oh, if you go here and you ask in these words, this is what you can get.
It's a constant getting over, a constant scam. It's a constant, you're constantly doing this formula math of these, like, okay, I got this much, Man, things are, you're doing this insane math.
Did I ever tell you guys I actually knocked out a hooker? Not for very long, but knocked out a hooker once.
Male. Okay, I'm male gonna need hooker. To know
did
this
I ever
story.
Tell you guys,
no,
Fez, did I you tell you that?
If you haven't, this needs to be on the podcast. And also, no, why okay. are you even asking me? Like, I don't want this to be said.
Yeah, please.
My bad. So hold on, let me step outside. There was this time where I was hanging out with a friend in Japan, and we were like, we had gone to go out for the night, and we were just like, hey, let's go get fucked up. And I'm like, okay, sweet. And he had a driver's license to drive in Japan. So I'm like, oh, badass, you know? And like, it was my first or second time for really going out into the city. And I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? And he's like, oh, I know this cool spot. We'll go to all these bars. So we go to the bars and we end up staying too late, and we end up missing curfew. So we're like, instead of trying to get back in time for curfew, we're like, fuck, we have to sleep out here and just drive back tomorrow, like in the afternoon, so it doesn't look suspicious. So we're like, okay, we might as well keep drinking. We keep going and we keep getting fucked up. And then at the end of the night, we go back and we walk to his car. We jump in the car and park it in this little parking lot behind this van. And I'm like sitting there, and he's asleep, my buddy Aaron, and I'm like, man, I can't fucking fall asleep in his car, you know. I think it was like a little Honda Civic or a Skyline or something like that, like a shitty one. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna go out and see what there is to do, you know. I'm like, I might try to find a chick, you know, thinking I'm some kind of slick dude or something. And I start walking around in these back alleys by these bars, and this must be like 2 or 3 in the morning, and most everything's shut down. And I'm like, well, fuck, there's like nothing going on. And this car starts pulling up in the alley next to me. And I'm like, you know, he's creeping. And I'm just thinking, like, it's a little suspect, you know, to have a car creeping up on you. And then dude rolls down the window of the car, and he's like, hey, you want a blowjob? And I'm like, what? He's like, you want a blowjob? And I'm like, you got girls, you know? And he's like, no, me. And I'm like, yeah, you got girls? Yeah, I'm fucked up. And he's like, no, I suck your dick. And I'm like, nah, man, I'm good. You know, like, I'm all right. And he's like, no, please, please, please. And he's like sitting there begging. And I'm just like, no, no, man. And like, if I'm honest, I'm like 19 years old. And like, I'm still pretty ignorant. Fucking dumb person, and in my life at this time, I'm just like, get away from, and I'm just screaming at the dude. And he gets out of the car, and he like starts walking up to, like, will not just take. And I'm like, I don't get it, you know. I'm like, I've never had a dude come on to me and me be like, dude, no. And then like he gets out of the car and he's still approaching me, you know. And I'm this skinny little bitch of a white man. I'm like, this guy's like, what is he trying to do? And I just, as soon as he got close enough, when he was in arm's reach, I just won to the chin, and he dumped to the concrete, and I just took off running down the alley. And I was just like, I did not know where I was. I didn't know what I was doing. I was fucked up. And I just, as soon as I slept him, I just took off running, and he was only down for like 10 seconds, and he gets up and jumps in his car and starts chasing me down the alley. And I just remember, like, in my head, I'm like, whoa, what an idiot. You know, and I was pretty good shape at the time. And all I did was like let him get close to me in his car and turn around and run the other way. And he had to do like a 3 or 4 point turn to try and get me. And I jumped in my buddy's car, and I'm like shaking him. I'm like, dude, Aaron. I'm like, he's like, what? And I was like, dude, you got to move the car like right now. And he's like, what? And I was like, I just knocked out a dude that was trying to suck my dick. And I'm like screaming. And he's like, I do what? And I'm like, just park on the other side of the box van. And he like backs up his car and he parks in a hiding spot. And I stayed awake until like 11 in the afternoon just so I could go. Just so I could go back to base. I couldn't fall asleep after that. Like, I think he was legitimately trying to sexually assault me.
No, but my thing is, like, you're like, I don't know why he kept insisting. You ever go to the mall kiosk and I like, do the hard ignore? And like, right. Oh, this guy's not interested. You're that person that looked at the wares that kiosk person had a little too long. You paused, you took a look, and he's like, oh, yeah.
This guy's so I'm the asshole. It. I'm the asshole, huh?
I feel like, I don't know.
It's
Mark,
my fault, right?
What's your thoughts on this?
Pushy salesmen suck. That's it.
No, no, literally, in this case,
I was
literally
worried about this.
Pushy salesmen suck. Yes.
Honestly, I was just worried about causing an international incident because they always throw that term around, you know? And I'm like, dude, I just like punched a dude in his country, you know? I'm like, I don't know what the fuck to do. So it was just nerve-wracking.
I might have been dishonorable somehow.
What if they put me down for this?
You know, I don't know a lot about Japan, but you dishonored his family. And you owe them something. I don't know how it works.
Honestly, man, if you saw this dude, there's no way I'm paying him for it. You know, I'm not even taking it for free, to be honest. He was an unattractive man.
Okay, so this guy got you. Did he offer an amount it was going to cost you?
No, that's the thing. He just acted like he just had to I'm going to fucking throw up thinking about it. You're bringing me back to, like, traumas. I think that was actually traumatic.
Oh, my God. That made you nauseated. Well, then, I guess, if that's the case, how much would it cost for
you? No, it didn't make me nauseated. I was just saying, like, I was repeating the sounds that he sounded like while he was doing it.
Oh. While he was doing what? You said it didn't happen. Now you're saying you're repeating the sounds. Okay, hold on.
Oh, I didn't finish the story. I went back and I was like, hey, dude, sorry about that. And I let him for free.
You made a gag reflex, and then you said, I'm just replaying the sound he made. Yeah,
that was the joke.
Oh, okay. I got you.
I think it just went over.
So then, Danny, say you're in Japan. You're this guy. How much do you charge? Or how much would it take for you to take?
What would be the price to suck a dick? If I had to do it.
I mean, like, a lot of these times, people will say this, like, oh, it'd take $1 billion. I'm like, yeah, my family's set for life. Of course, I'm doing it for $1 billion. But we're playing hardball here. Shark Tank, what's the lowest we can get you on a deal?
On me in particular? Oh, I'm probably the lowest. We better start with one of you guys.
Oh, well, Mark, what about you?
What amount I would suck a dick for?
Yeah,
what would it cost
amount
for you to do it?
If you're like, oh, I'd only do it for $1 billion, low-key, I'm pretty sure you get you for $12K. Easy.
Right.
I mean,
now you go. Since you want to add all these lowers and bottoms now, that was the bullshit you just did. So
it depends on the situation. Now, I have this argument at work. I have this discussion at work.
I got a number in mind.
Right?
I got a number in mind.
It depends on the situation. You're like, now you're getting shot in the head. I got a number in mind.
How much you owe on your truck? How much you got left to pay off on that thing? I bet you that's the number.
Not a damn thing. I own this outright. But
so your number's even lower then. You got a low number then.
$395,000.
Wow. That's a bit extreme. You think you fucking deserve that?
I mean, I'm going to put some effort into it. Someone's paying me $395,000. They're getting me for the whole day. All right.
I got to be realistic, Fez. Like, I talked to a buddy. I'm going to keep him nameless because he was the only person that was actually realistic, I think, that I have had this conversation with. Because I talked to a wide variety of bumpkins, right? And when I talk to them, like, you get the typical dudes that are like, I'd never do that, man. I ain't no faggot. And it's like, whoa, dude, that's extreme. First of all, and it's like, we're talking about a lot of money. Like, you don't have to be just putting a dick in your mouth doesn't make you gay, man, unless you choose to mean. Like, but then you have the other people that are like, well, I mean, it'd probably cost $1 million. I'm like, that's probably more realistic. Maybe you're there, you know? And then you have people like me and my buddy. And I was like, at the time, I think I just had my second kidney surgery or something. Maybe it was sometime around there, one of them. And I was like, fuck, I got like 8 G's worth of medical bills. So I was like, I'd suck a dick for 8 G's. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I got medical bills like I'd like to get rid of. And then everybody's trying to sit there and roast me, you know, and I'm like, well, I mean, and they're like, dude, you're gay. And I'm like, okay, I wish, like, I would love to be that person. But then my buddy's like, yeah, dude, like, honestly, he's like, I'd do it for a month off of work. He's like, 5 minutes, 10 minutes of work. And like, I get a month off. He's like, hell yeah, I'd do it. And I'm like, why not? Right.
I think you just tapped into a good thing. Like, desperation would probably make that value go down. Like, you know, if you needed like 5,000 right now or something bad's going to happen.
Yeah. You're going to do it.
Yeah.
You may not tell your friends, but you're going to do it.
You're not going to brag. You're not going to go, guess what?
Okay, everybody's going to know. Everybody is going to know what's your number.
If everybody's going to know, I want a nice car out of it or something, you know? I want a Honda Civic, but brand new.
Yeah, I think about, like, people, girls that got gigolos. Fuck girls. I mean, like, selling pussy or sucking an old dick or something like that for, like, a nice apartment and shit like that, which on Twitter you see all the time, OnlyFans girls, like, checking into a new loft or, like, being like, did
what's
that?
What's wrong with that?
There is nothing. But what I'm saying is, it's, like, the people that shame it, the world that acts like it's something bad, right? It's just like, you're most likely jealous, but really, you're most likely jealous that you don't have that as an option. Like, selling pussy is not that hard of a thing to do if you're already a straight woman. Like, I'm just fucking an ugly version of it. And dudes don't get uglier, really. They get nasty in their ball sack, but, like, it's not the same as, like, a woman. As a dude, dudes are out of shape, but women... like age, you know what I'm saying? A woman with money that's willing to pay for sex is most likely, you know what I'm saying, a little different situation. I don't know how to explain it or what to say, but I think it'd be rougher. Okay. So,
would you provide that service given the option? Would you go fuck a bunch of old rich ladies just for like, say, that each time you fuck a rich chick, you get 500?
I'd go as high as 60, 65. That's about it, bro. I can't do 70. 100? Jeez. No. I'm saying, like, that's the age I would do.
Oh, age. Okay. Yes. I thought you were talking about how much you suck a dick.
No, suck a dick? Bro, I would suck a dick probably for about, like, probably 120,000, actually. That's really, if I'm really honest. Yeah.
Honestly, I probably got to raise my number, because if we have listeners out there that got money and they're like, yo, wait, you said 6 G's? And I'd be like, I can't say that right now. I would do it for 6. You know?
And we just see Danny pop up with 6 G's. Hey, dinner's on me, y'all.
Hey guys, I bought some new crypto.
I gotta say, my favorite part is Danny said 8 G's and he literally undersold himself. If we keep talking about this, $500, Danny's gonna be after it. Right. So.
It depends, man. I'm going through some shit right now.
But, like, really, how straight are you? Are you straighter than you are ambitious?
Yes, come on. That's the problem.
Ooh, that's the problem.
That's my problem.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Your heterosexuality.
And it's only because of society fucking making us that
shaming
way.
Us. If nobody knew about it, we would all be gigolos. Or
they
if,
just
if
imprinted
no
the
shame,
shit in my brain.
When you're a young man... Dude, well, you're young, like 20. You know how many dudes would have fucked you guys? Like, I think about that. Like, but we didn't. We didn't offer our ass
zero.
Up because we were fucking
zero.
Straight.
You heard
yeah,
me
you remember
on the podcast.
Ben was in his Huskies.
I
was actually slender at 20. At 17, okay. That's a different story. That was Husky. Still Husky. So, you know.
Then you grew into it.
No, I'm pretty sure there was a dude out there that wanted to fuck your little nasty fat self as a young.
Why did you have to say that? So derogatory. You got into that person's mindset. Like,
maybe that's Mark's thing.
Oh, it's not my thing. I'm just saying, like, somebody wanted it, dude. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
So, there is a thing for everybody. And maybe somebody just wanted a young, chubby Mexican kid that's from Wyoming, you know?
Never.
You know, that is a very
you're probably a rare breed in your area, you know.
Yeah, probably.
Dude, there's girls that like are into weird ass shit, man. That like dudes mm-hmm. with fucking hairy backs, or like dudes with fucking like shoulder chest.
Yo, Jesus, can we?
Right.
Sorry to interject, but you said shoulder chest. Shoulder chest, man. Can we talk about Mr. No Neck Ed on 90 Day Fiancé? I've been dipping into it, and I gotta say,
oh, you're finally!
Oh my god!
I'm so happy that shoulder chest triggered that. Oh,
the no neck having Ed, who's also arrogant, and what the fuck is this
dude?
Dude's?
He is grotesque. Oh, that is not a human being. It's like, this is what I imagine, like the douche in college, like just all of a sudden gets fat and he really still thinks he's that great. You know what I'm saying?
100%. 100%.
He is just this, he's, oh, I love his episodes. I can't stop watching.
I have to say, I'm mixed on 90 Day Fiancé. I know before you guys had this conversation, I was completely lost. And now I've been dipping into mostly recaps on YouTube and like highlight stuff, because it's like I said, I can't find it anywhere that I don't have to pay for it. But
And I do once again apologize. Danny was right. I did make him feel like a complete asshole when I said you go to Hulu and you hit play. It's no longer in there. You got to apparently get Hulu Plus or Plus Plus. I don't even know what you got to get that now, but it's not on there.
Yeah, yeah, we say same. We both shamed you. We're sorry.
Well, it's all good. It was like you gotta pay for an add-on, and then on that add-on, add an add-on, and I'm like, this is too much.
But and you're like, show... am I stupid? Yes, Danny. You're stupid. You're fucking idiot. Dumb.
Just click. I'm like, I tried Amazon, I tried Hulu. I tried all the things, and I'm like, you fucking retard. It's all good. But the show, I feel like, is 100% staged, but I can't pull my fucking face away from it when it's on. Like, the scenario, I'm like, there's no way this dude actually said this, or there's no way this chick respond. Like, the chick that goes to Morocco, like, bitch, you are in Morocco and you're trying to like kiss up on this dude in public, and he's like, yo, don't do that, you know, we're in Morocco. And she's like, well, I want to do
100%. I'm certain he's gay. The guy you're talking about, was it like Azim?
Yeah, something like that. Or then there's the other Moroccan dude that's like with the big fat white woman. And then she's like, yep. She's like, well, yeah, if I don't have sex with her, then, like, you know, she always threatens, I'm gonna send you back to your country. And I'm like, yo, this chick is literally buying a sex. Like, you look at this Moroccan dude, he's all, like, put together and handsome and shit. This chick's just blown out, old and fat as fuck. And she's, like, trying to buy a sex slave. And when he, it's just mind-blowing. Like, I'm sure that's real. But then the stuff that happens in the episode a lot of the time, I don't feel like is real, but it's too entertaining to stop. And the only thing that pulled me away was on YouTube, you let it just go through its thing, you know, and it's playing episodes back to back. Randomly, Catfish popped up. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen that.
Yes,
that's
of course.
That's fucking hilarious.
Another great show.
It is a great show.
It is fucking funny.
So here's something. I got to ask you a question. I found out about somebody. I'm not going to say my relationship or anything like that, but their wife had at one point catfished them. And I thought about that. Yeah. Like initially, like, oh, you know, like I made a fake profile account and you started talking to it. I don't like, how would you feel about that?
Like on some romantic shit?
On some romantic shit. Yes.
So he cheated with his girl, but it was her.
No, never.
No. He's saying she was catfishing him.
Let's give a time.
And then,
so 5 years, we'll give it a 5 years. Year day one is the initial catfish. Okay. Then they stop talking. 2 years later, and they start to have a relationship. And then he finds out that person catfished him. You go, how would you feel about that?
That's different.
Yeah, that's totally different. I think I'd be okay with that. Yeah.
They just stopped talking to you for a year and then you randomly bumped in. That's totally different.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody, if that story was
like, oh, yeah. Did I lose you guys?
I'm here. I'm just being quiet so that I don't overstep.
I just paused. I was doing the same thing. I'm a little hyper-conscious right now.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to shut her
out. Yeah. I made you sit down when you pee, Danny. No, okay. I just throwing that out there. One, been catfished because two, I never knew. So I can't be catfished because I never added, like this person, like, you know, like some girl trying to add me. I'm like, nope, you're not a real person. Delete. Like that was automatically my thought process. So it's never occurred.
I can't say that I have either. I've never been catfished because I've never met somebody. Like I've always met people in person.
Yeah. So that's like,
but the world's different now, you know, like people coming out, like I'm sure online dating is the equivalent of what it was before. Like for us when there wasn't, you know,
have you guys seen that show on Netflix called The Circle where you have regular people and catfish people?
I've seen it, but I didn't really actually watch. I started the first episode, but the black lady, like I was, all of them, I was just like, these I am not completely bought in. And one dude on there that's Indian that is acting gay, I met him, bro, in person, very much in person. He did not, he was not gay when I met him.
Exactly. He was actor.
You're talking about Shuby? He wasn't acting gay.
Is he gay?
No, he was just like really friendly and like this sweet little dude. You can't be calling Shuby.
Mark,
gay.
You offensive fuck.
Dude, no. Okay, I thought I saw him and he was just being, he was actually gay. I thought I saw him recently. He had a, like the gay accent. I'm not trying to be rude. Not trying to be terrible.
He was the one that you got you saw getting picked up off of La Brea one time, right?
Oh my gosh. Okay, hilarious. But no. Like I worked at a place and he was there. Okay, bro, it's not that funny.
Yeah, stop. It ain't that good, Ben.
I'm not expecting it.
That was, I have to go, guys. This is bullshit. No, just play. But no, I met him somewhere else, not on the fucking Figueroa where Pops are. But that just fucked me up.
He kicked in my gearbox. It's bullshit.
Right?
Yeah, he did not kick my gearbox.
He kicked my gearbox on and left me off of the avenue.
And I'm calling from a jail phone. That's what I'm really trying to tell you guys. I really need some help, guys. If you guys could,
send me that 3G's off the social system, please.
Yes, but I thought I met him before. He was not talking like that. He did not talk like that. Even that's what I mean. He talked different than what I met him. It was not that friendly or feminine or none of that, bro. So that is
maybe
what
he
I
just
saw.
Had the charm. Yeah, the charm the turned on.
The first season, it's like they were like talking. I feel like in the first season, no one knew what was happening. The second season, those people were calculated, and it was awesome. They're like right away, like starting fights, doing all these different things, and like trying to get people voted out right away. Oh, it was, there was some calculations to it, and I thought it was great.
I just liked on Catfish how like the people that were the perpetrator of the catfishing, is that the catfisher?
The catfish.
No, that's the catfish. The fake fisher is the catfish.
Okay, so the catfish always comes out and they're first they walk up to this person. I saw the one that I saw, it was like a recap thing, and it was like they catfished like 9 people, right? And all 9 of these people were there, and this chick walks out and she's like, oh shit, they're all here, you know? And then she's like mad at them and blasting them, and I'm like, you lied tonight. And then they start talking about the timeline, and I'm like, it's over like 5 years and like 7, like you have had on. And I was just sitting there, I'm like, how is this even possible, you know? Like, you didn't meet that person, and like every time you see it, it's like that person is fucking screaming. And then there was one where it came out, this dude, it's like this young attractive like Hispanic male, right? And he walks up and he's like, looks like he's got his shit together, he's really religious and all of these things, and he's like been talking to this 26 year old girl for a long time. This girl's been like, you know, I just had a problem with drugs and I just got out of prison and all this stuff. And the guy's kind of like in the text conversation, he's like, what the fuck, like that's kind of crazy, you know, she's only 26 going through this stuff. And then comes out and it's this like 350 pound dude, and the guy's like, yo, what the fuck, you know? He's just like completely puzzled by this, and he's like, but I don't get why you're so mad at me, like all of those things I said as Alexis, like those were actually me, you know? I'm like, dude,
that's the funny thing about
5 years you've been lying as if you're a woman to this dude, and you meet and you're a man and you're like, why are you upset? Like, I told you the truth about all the stories.
The audacity for you to think that this person is wrong or try and twist it onto them.
I love the reverse victimization.
It's insane.
It is so ridiculous. Like, and that's the way it all, like, those were my true feelings. It's like, yeah, but there's a big falseness in the front.
Yeah, but there's an issue with them. That's the problem.
And then seeing Neve and Max, like, trying to explain to these people that literally some of them have mental issues. You're meeting somebody in a full delusion or in the heap of a mental illness. And he's like, they're like, it's all coming to fruition right now. And they're just like, what you did was wrong. And good people don't do this to other people. You talked to them for 5 years, 3 years, all this time, and wasted all of our time here. What is wrong with you? And then what their answers are like, I don't know. And Max looks like he wants to straight up punch people in the face sometimes. Like,
yes.
He, you
I was gonna say the saddest one I ever watched was like the girl that got friend zoned, and it was like her best friend, and she catfished him as somebody else. And she like, so she's a girl in love with a guy, like the whole, like the entire basis of all 80s rom coms,
yes,
like, romantic comedies. And she catfishes him, and he was pissed at her. Oh, he was fucking pissed. And it's like, that was the only time I ever felt for the catfish.
Okay, because hypothetical. Like, you in that situation, what's your reaction? Let's say we assign it a hypothetical timeline. Like, you spend 3 years. I just don't know how people do that for so long on the internet without meeting someone. But say you spend 3 years in a relationship. You go to meet this. You are the victim of being catfished. What is your reaction in that moment? Like, do you sit there and talk and be like, dude, what the blah, blah, blah? Do you even consider working it out because of the things? Because for me, it's like, you just lied to me for 3 years and done.
Really? I'm going to go to all of the things that I said I thought was clever and ask him if there was really an LOL or not. We're going to go like, okay, on June 26th,
when
I said this, what was your real thoughts about? Was it funny? Was it funny? Kind of. Okay, next. They're gonna regret, because I am not going to. I don't know. I'm gonna make it. I want to find out if that was really them. Was that really you? No, I'm being a smartass. It's not gonna happen.
Mark. Is that in progress or is it done?
Oh, it's. I just was extending it. I'm sorry. I just needed to hear. Ooh. That's just kind of icy, right?
Yeah, okay. It is.
Yeah. Sorry. Were you guys done talking about catfish? Because I had
no. We're done talking about catfish.
Yeah. Have you guys seen American Murder? The Kit Family Next Door.
No.
No.
Oh, was that Netflix?
Yes, dude.
Dude, Netflix is all about the murder documentaries. Dude, I love
this dude. This man, bro, normal guy, normal, look, imagine Danny with dark hair, about 5 inches shorter, right? Guy's only like 5'9", maybe 5'10", bro.
Imagine Danny, but doesn't look anything like him. He's just a white man.
He just, okay. Oh,
can I say something?
Most of the Marines. Yeah.
Hold on a second. Can I say this? You didn't even have to tell me it was a white man. It was automatically assumed it was a white man.
Right?
It's had
like Danny, but he's dark as shit. Like,
I'm talking about a murder documentary. Of course it's fucking... Imagine it Danny.
Like me. Of
I'm
course.
Fucked up. I'm sorry, dude. You
Nazi, this
is,
bitch.
The world is fucked up, man. You're not fucked up, okay?
It's a hard time to be white, like you said, remember?
Yes,
white,
yes.
Straight,
I take that back.
Male.
Not away. No, I'm playing. No, it is. It is. No, but so... He, I just unscratched that. Wow. But,
I don't want anybody to know I ever said that out loud.
No, but.
His career as an electrician, I mean, there was just very, a lot of things.
So, this, should I tell? I'm trying to think if you guys, you probably will want to watch it. It doesn't matter. Actually, I can't ruin it. This dude, first off, his wife fucking was one of those very overbearing type, like very strong personality, and he was not that, or he just was swallowed up by her or swallowed up by the whole family situation. And she records everything on Facebook, bro. Everything. So you see everything. We're pregnant. Look, I'm recording. Hey, kids, look at him. Look at me. Say hi. Like everything. So they have so much footage of them interacting. And he's just like there, like smiling, kind of not really into it. And you just see, and then like you get to the point where fucking everybody, the kids are missing. And like nobody's trusting this dude at all. And like it is just so ugly. His whole point of view, his whole perspective and everything he's saying, and then they have everything recorded. You get to see like everything up to them questioning him, the polygraph test, everything is recorded. And it's just like, bro, this dude was sick of it. She's just like, and then it like right before, oh, it is so much footage. It's so like good, and then like at what they caught, and it's
so
fucked
this
up,
is a documentary, man. Then
yes
okay. That sounds exactly like something I'm going to watch, because it sounds great. That's why, like when we had our streaming conversation, it was literally, I have to stick with Netflix because of this type of content. 100%.
Yeah, nobody's touching the murder documentaries like Netflix. They really got it a lot.
Are we still talking Netflix? Because I'm thinking like We talked about the basal ganglia stuff earlier, and right when you said Netflix and documentary and the murder thing seems to be serial killers murder thing. Like, we all know about like how companies and corporations track us and our data and like trends and stuff to figure out.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. I just want to interrupt before you finish it. This thought I read this and it's, I don't know if it's true or not. It's still in my brain that every person will meet at least 30 murderers in their lifetime.
Oh, I can believe it.
That's insane to me. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry. Continue.
I can believe it. But so like with Netflix, like you guys were like, yeah, I like it because of these murder shows or the documentaries or whatever it may be. I recently read a book called The Power of Habit. And they tap into like how we develop habits, right? Like the different premise of what a habit is, how they function. And what I never realized is when we talk about these corporations and these dopamine hits and these things that they do, they're literally programming habits into us. Now, like from the understanding of what a habit is, I'm going to step outside so I'm not so distracted because I feel like this conversation is a little too intense for me to have all the echo. So our body off of habits essentially works off of you have cues, your routine, and then the reward, right?
Mm.
Anytime you develop a habit, there is a cue that initiates you to do a routine, and you do that routine because you receive a reward, much like training a dog, right? If I were to train my dog, I would be like, snap my fingers, or I would hold my fist up. That's his cue. That means sit, right? His routine, he knows, park your ass down on the ground. The more you do that with the dog, it becomes a habit because he knows the reward is praise, or the reward is a treat, or the reward is whatever it may be, right? So what these companies do is they do all of this stuff in order to change our cues, our routines, and then our reward. So our reward is that dopamine hit. The cue is, you know, your phone lights up a specific way, and they literally spend billions upon billions of dollars to do studies and research. And that's what kind of, exactly. And that's what kind of blew my mind, because if you know how like that system works, which is why I was thinking about the basal ganglia, because I already had heard of the basal ganglia in the past. And when he mentioned it, what I didn't know was like, just how deep all of the social media tie-ins come into, and even your Netflix stuff. Like Target was able to create software that targets people, no pun intended. I don't even think that's why they're called that thing. But Target became one of the most successful data mining and interpreting companies, because what they were able to do by doing this was send targeting advertisements. And what they realized through study and research was that you can target pregnant women are the most irrational purchasers that there are. So Target specifically would go for pregnant women. Well, then it became an issue, because once pregnant women realized that Target knew that they were pregnant or all of this stuff, then it became an invasion of privacy thing, right? So Target's like, well, how do we combat that? And so they were able to, okay, so what we need to do is we put the diapers and the stroller and the baby wipe ads in between like some of the groceries, you know, and that way they don't really know that they're being targeted by it, but they are, right? So then they go to Target to buy this coupon, and all of a sudden they get these coupons based off of these things. Well, Target got so good at doing this that Target was then able to predict when a woman was pregnant without any kind of purchase prior to, right? They would be like, okay, well, this woman has been purchasing prenatal vitamins in this month. So before they even get around to the next month, you're getting coupons for baby accessories that you need in your second trimester. And then when your trimester is go, like you're about to roll into the third one, all of a sudden you're getting like formula and you're getting cribs and the things you need right before the baby comes. So then they took the pregnant woman and they realized that who else is the most irrational shopper? It is the first-time father, because first-time fathers already heightened because mom's going crazy. So father is going crazy. And he's like, yeah, whatever you need. Like, I'm going to run to the store at 8 o'clock at night and grab some random shit. So they picked up on these trends and then they got people to do that. And then they literally have planned out all of these things.
And now that's why Netflix and these other places are able to be like, well, what are these trends? What are people into right now? And how will it react? And they're able to rate things beforehand. And Target almost got into trouble because they were able to predict that a 16-year-old girl was pregnant, and they were sending her advertisements back before internet and everything. Well, it's like really the way most people shop. But they were sending coupon advertisements. And one day the manager of Target comes up to an angry father, and he's sitting there screaming at somebody in the management department. And he's like, why are you guys sending this type of shit to my daughter? And he's freaking out because she's getting like baby advertisements, right? And he's like, I feel like you guys are trying to program her and make her do these things. You know, probably some fucking Trumpy bear, weird person that's like, you're trying to program my daughter's brain. A month or 2 months later, that dude called back to apologize to the Target because his daughter was pregnant. And they didn't even know. He didn't know. Nobody knew. They found out afterwards. That's how fucking good these people are at programming our habits and tracking our habits. So I feel like, well, I had to read this book to learn that, to try and dip out of those
habits. In your book, did it talk about... So here's something that's crazy to me. Habits can't be stopped. You can't stop a habit from happening.
You can only replace it.
You have to replace it. Exactly. That, and, yep. Oh, I'm glad that talks about that. Because that's absolutely the craziest thing. People are like, I want to stop doing this. And you have to determine what in your life you're going to do, you know, that's going to be, you know, better. So,
well,
for
and
example,
therein ties into that basal ganglia. Like what you're saying of the, like, you can't replace it. I mean, you can't get rid of it. You have to replace it. That is a function of the basal ganglia, which is the portion of the brain that figures, like, we breathe without thinking about it because our basal ganglia it knows to do that. We can stand up and start walking without thinking about, hey, put this foot here.
So, random question. I don't know this. I mean, I have them. So the basal ganglia is part of the brainstem then?
I believe so, yes. And it has like four to six compartments or something like that. But the main portion of the basal ganglia, it almost works like a computer from what I've read, right? It's like the main portion, which is like the striatum or something. I don't know. I don't have anything in front of me. I probably butchered that, but it starts with an S something. It receives all of these inputs, right? These sensory inputs, like you see a cue, right? Your coffee pot your teapot starts to whistle. Like you step over, you walk over, you pick it up, you pour it in. You didn't think about every step. You just did it because you've been doing it for so long. But it sees that cue, and then your body, that part, sends signals out to the other portions, and those other portions therefore dictate what your body does. Like one would be your motor functions. So when you talk about people going into like sleepwalking, or it gets really interesting because there have been like murderers that have been left, like let go because of sleep terrors, right? And it's literally because in their basal ganglia, one compartment is being shut off, right? The compartment that is like aware of what you're doing and your consciousness, but the other part of your basal ganglia is functioning. So you will get up, you will walk, and you will do things that are habits, right? So I, like, for me as a child, this explains so much. I used to wake up all the time and I would get lost. Like if we went to a hotel or we stayed anywhere, I'd get locked out of rooms because I'd get up, I'd open the door and I'd walk outside, and it's like the hotel staff would bring me back to the room, and like the front nurse would, or front nurse, the staff at the concierge. Yeah.
Was that Freudian slip? At a hotel, Danny.
I was in a mental hospital the entire time.
Spoiler alert.
That was for episode 10, Fez. That's when we're going to reveal that.
Damn it. That's when we're going to reveal that Danny is in a great... Martin Dale. Yeah.
But what Danny's I found in so interesting asylum. Is like why these people are able to get off with things. It's like... they go into these habit loops. So you fall asleep, and like people that have killed people, they're like, well, their habit wasn't to kill them. But when they go into night terrors and your basal ganglia kicks in, you go into fight or flight response because of the night terror that you are in. And your body will, like, if you naturally go to that fight response, there was a dude that like woke up in the middle of a night terror, thinking that he was killing the dude that had jumped on his wife while they were sleeping in their van on a vacation. And it was actually his wife. And he like strangled his wife to death and like came out of it. And he was like, oh my God, called 911. He's like, I just killed my wife. Like, I don't know what happened.
And all he said was, I thought somebody was on top of her. And I just like reacted and I went to like strangle them, and he killed his wife and he was let off because of that. And then you'll have like an habitual gambler that will be sued and they have to pay back all this debt. And it's like, the difference is that person developed that habit, but that habit was programmed by a casino slowly and meticulously over time. It's just weird to think that one little part of our brain does so fucking much. And we as humans know that, and we manipulate it to control other people.
It's not just that part of our brain. And this is even crazier. So habits, like you said, you know, the casinos, they tap into the serotonin reactors. Mm-hmm. So something that you're like, you winning, you feel, you get excited. It's just like the same thing we talked about ADHD, where children, they solve a problem, and that's the same thing that kids will learn because they felt like they just won.
Oh,
the
I'm same about response to break some to get, real shit to y'all. I'm sorry.
They do that. So it's like, okay, and over time, you want to continue to do this in your daily routine at school. Like, you know, like my personality as a kid was I became a smart kid. Because, you know, I got rewarded for being smart. I got straight A's, like, you know, and, you know, then I started becoming the funny kid and I got rewarded by people laughing, and that increased my serotonin level. And then here's something even crazier, is your stomach has 6 serotonin receptors. So when it came to, you know, being the fat kid, like people are like, well, did you have any type of trauma or anything like that? And it wasn't even anything like that. It's just food reacts to the brain. If you eat, that becomes a habit. I started leaving from school, stopping at the, you know, like making sure I had some money for milk, like which was like 35 cents, and this goes sound how old I am, you know, I wouldn't use the money on the milk that the school provided. I'd walk at the end of school, take that 35 cents and Fruity Tooties. I don't know if you know this candy. At Solo in Shoshone, Wyoming, there were 2 for 1 penny.
Wait, Fruity Tooties? Those are the fruit. Tootsie Rolls?
Like Tootsie Rolls, right?
Yeah. Yes. Fruities. Yes. So, those are fucking delicious.
So for 35 cents that I got from milk.
Oh my gosh. It's 70?
You get 70 of these things?
70.
And smash them
on the way home.
Yeah. And you know, I would all throughout the night. So you talk about this candy, like I wouldn't eat it all then. I would eat it throughout the night, you know, playing some video games, going, like, you know, and I'd have this
every
thing.
Time you're walking home.
Every time I'm walking home, I do this. Sometimes I get crazy, you know, there'd be like something that was like 3 or 4 cents because, you know, it had like the open candy. You can just buy, you know, buy the. And honestly, me and my sister would go there and we would like, oh God, this is going to tell you how ridiculous we were. So, at the time,
let me break down the shit of my shit, the triggers. Damn, give me a sec.
Okay.
So there's a shit that I watched and read this book called Contagious, right? It's about the marketing, and we were talking about like fucking how they target it and market people, right? Well, they broke it down to this fucking word of mouth, and word of mouth being the best marketing. Have I told you guys about this already? I feel like, okay. Yeah. Word of mouth being the best marketing fucking strategy ever. I'm not strategy, but just like component. Once everyone is talking about it, it blows up because that's the best on anything. And people's marketing spend is the most, you know what I'm saying, out of all the rest of their spend on everything. The marketing endeavors that they go through is what they spend out of everything else with every company, you know? So by tenfold, you know? So, they found this formula on how to get to word of mouth marketing. It's called STEPS, right? It's STEPPS. And the first one is a story. Like if you can weave in product into stories, because the way that our brain is that we get information the best within a beginning, middle, and end, right? If you can weave in a story, then if you can weave in triggers, right? And they showed they showed these examples of stories like, I went to Port Patagonia and I had this jacket for 3 years and then I sent it in. I love this jacket. It was the best. And I sent it in and it was a warranty. So they gave me a jacket to wear because they knew it was winter. And they also sent me back my original jacket with the patch done and fucking everything. And so, like, how much did I learn in that little piece, right? That fucking Patagonia has a warranty. Patagonia has good jackets, right? You can fit in so much in a story with people, right? Then you have triggers. What the fuck is their name? Jesus, Kit Kat. Kit Kat started doing like coffee. You know what I'm saying? Have a Kit Kat with coffee. And like what? Ooh. Something that somebody already drinks in the morning every day. Or if you jam coffee and have pictures of it and just make it Kit Kat with a coffee and just do it. Now, when I think coffee in the morning, what's my first thing? I'm thinking Kit Kat. I'm now fitting in this other thing. And so there's so many other triggers that you can have. Then there's emotion, right? Emotion. So like they did studies on like when you can get somebody to buy something, and like they talked about like email chains, right? And of course, like funny is one of the top ones, like doing something super hilarious on fucking like anything and then weaving that in with a product, that's good, but it has to be tied in with yours. Then you have sadness or like anger that arouses people, that doesn't get people to buy. But if there's emotion tied in, like of sympathy, like how everything happened with those turtles and the turtle fucking with the straw in his nose and shit, and we were all just like, fuck no. And like everyone was like, no turtles. You know what I'm saying? We were pissed at ourselves and pissed at the whole world. And now
fucking these straws.
Yes, fucking now there's straws. Fucking paper straws everywhere. Like there's still some people that do, but like for the most part, there's a lot of paper straws out there now. And what else? Then there's, and it's just like this perfect formula that gets people talking. If you can fit all of those things inside of your company, on a good product, you have like some fire shit. There was also one that was like secret, and I forget what it is, secret or something like that, that making it seem like it's something that's underneath, like that people are in on that they don't really know, like a secret little.
Absolutely. How do you think QAnon came to power?
Yes. Or speakeasies and stuff like that. Like that is one speakeasy where you come in and you call in and then they say, you want to go to the bar?
Because if you know a secret, you feel special.
And you tell people. And then
special is another serotonin feeling. Releasing.
Yeah.
Feeling. Yes. You're like, oh, I'm the only one doing this. And they're like, oh, it's actualization. It's crazy.
You know what's funny, Fez? When you were talking about the casinos and the habits, they actually did studies on casino gamblers and dopamine and how they receive their rewards. And they show that like people that are habitual problem gamblers, like when the casinos realized that on their slot machines, they started doing studies, right? And this was like done like back in the 60s or 70s. I can't remember when it was, but they were looking at, they would give people money. They would bring in like a test panel of people that were habitual problem gamblers. And then they just bring in regular people. They'd give them money and they'd be like, hook them up to like EKG leads or whatever it is. I believe it's actually MRI. And they would scan the brain and they would look at how they would receive these rewards and when it would trigger in things. And what they determined was they were able to figure out if you were going to go in there and you could look. Sorry, one second. I got to fix this. You could look at their habits and you can figure out when they received something as a win or a loss, right? So a problem gambler, when they look at a slot result and it's just a miss, then they're like, okay, well, I lost. And then they gamble again. But anytime they see something where it made them look like they almost won, instead of perceiving it as a loss, like the non-problem gamblers, their mind, their dopamine hit, reacted. And it was like, okay, well, I almost won. So it tempted them more and more to go further and further. So the casinos started changing the slot system to make a lot more near misses happen to keep people at the tables even longer. So that's how they were like trying to program brain stuff into there. And I thought that was crazy.
I didn't know that. And that's really cool, because if you put a positive spin on that, how many near misses do you have in life?
Exactly.
For something that's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And like even weightlifting, like, when you're like, oh, I almost got it, I got to move it, and then you rack it, but you don't feel that it was a near miss. You feel it as a complete failure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't get it up today. Oh, man, I wonder if there's a way to make that work.
There is.
In your daily – what is it?
So that's that is where this book I find – honestly,
oh
you should
God.
Read it because it's fucking real.
We sounded Sorry. Like we set that up.
I'm a fucking nerd. Right? We sound like, yeah. Hey, I want to talk to the publisher of this book because
What book is this? Yeah. Okay. So first off,
The Power of Habit.
Okay. Okay. I got it. I got to buy this. I'm not going to read it, but I will. I do have my.
I'm doing audio book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing is with the audio book is like you don't really see the worksheets or whatever. But essentially, like, what you have to do is you're like, whenever you want to do something and make it a habit, and like all of us have been like gym rats at one point, right? And like myself, I'm just like cleared by the doctor. I'm going to the gym again. But you got the cues, you got the routines, and you got the rewards, right? So like when you get into the gym and like you're saying, say that I got like 12 to 15 reps on this set and I got to go in there and I'm trying to bust these out and I hit that like, I hit that 11, I hit 12, and then I get to 13 or whatever, right? And I'm like, I'm starting to fail. Well, when I fail and that weight comes down, I'm like, shit, like I wanted to hit 15 out of the 12 to 15 rep range, but I didn't. And you're telling yourself that's a failure right there. That's your cue, right? The cue was you failed at it. Then the routine is what you react to and how you react to it. So what you need to do is... The only thing you, like you said before, you cannot change. I mean, you can only change a habit. You can't get rid of it. So what you have to do is.
So you're talking about positive self-talk.
So instead of routine, you can't change the reward all the time, but you can change the routine. So if you get to that point and you like, this is what I'm trying to do now when I have that, you know, because I'm back in the gym at 160 pounds, like a bitch. And I'm like, I'm not used to being so weak in the gym. So I get in there and I'm constantly down on myself. I'm like, look at me. I can barely throw up, you know, 45 pounds on shoulder press or whatever. But what I try to do is tell myself afterward, like, hey, each time I fail at this, like, I just need that muscle to break down because like breaking it down is what's important, not what these people are thinking or not what this is. So I try to tell myself enough. And now I notice that I get home from work. The first thing I want to do is walk over to my shaker cup, my blender, and get my shit ready and go to the gym. Whereas like week one, I was forcing myself to do it, you know?
Yeah, now it's a habit. That's good.
Exactly.
Here's something that's crazy that I didn't know before is that you actually have a moment to think about how you want to react to something. And a lot of people are like, oh, this happened. And I reacted this way. There is actually a moment where you're not thinking. I mean, like, obviously there's like, you know, like, you know, something coming out of your face is a reflex. You react to it in a specific way. I'm not talking about that. Like, for example, like you spill something and you look at it. There's that moment you're like looking at it. You haven't reacted yet. You haven't said anything. You see the spill and you go. And at that point you get to choose and you don't realize that choice can happen split second. And that's just the way you're going to behave about it. Or you can take a moment to reflect on like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Let me wipe it up. But some people will just react and like it ruins their mood and that becomes their mood. But with all of these different things, you actually get a chance to choose your reaction. And I didn't think it was real until I started doing it. And I was like, holy cow.
Are you talking about slow thinking versus fast thinking?
I don't know, mindfulness in general.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not. It's just a reaction technique. So like, say, like, for example, like what's happened, just think about like a moment, like something like you crash your bike and you get up and you could be like, you know, like you see some people just go, you know, get really mad at themselves. They look focused on everything. You know, they just, you know, just get very angry or get very sad. You can be like, oh man, let me take this moment and think about what could have happened worse. And let me think about how happy I should be that this was how it ended. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know but it's a moment. It's a very, I mean, you get that moment again later on when you reflect on that. You're like, yeah, maybe I did overreact to that. But for a while, your mood is that and your body elevates, changes chemicals, all these different things based on a choice you didn't even know you were making.
Yep. I know exactly. I'm a fucking nerd. I had read another book that was talking about like our thought processes. And essentially how to get smarter or how to develop better memory and do these things. And I feel like it's kind of what you're talking about. You have like fast thinking and slow thinking and the difference between like different levels of intellect, like you and I had talked about before, like what makes one person smarter doesn't necessarily make another person, but they find in like
habitually. Is this you trying to find a way to tell me that Floyd Mayweather is too dumb? to think of his stuff again.
No, honestly,
I've
you're the one that's like,
fuck Floyd. Fuck Floyd first. And then I was like, yeah, Floyd's dumb. And you're like, no, he's smart. And I'm like, fuck, Fez, make up your mind. Which one?
No, but I'm just saying, like, they say that people that most people will, like, you revert to fast thinking, right? It's like somebody does something and you're like, I got to make a decision and do this, right? So you go into fast thinking and slow thinking, which is probably what you're talking about. Like, you're reprogramming yourself to be like, hey, I need to pause and think about what I'm doing before just doing something. And I feel like that's hard to do.
It is. But, you know, it is hard in a sense, but I think it's just so much better for your happiness just to be like, you know, because like sometimes there's a lot of times you got to think like, hey, this happened. If I don't do something right now, will something worse happen? And if the answer is yes, then go with reaction. Reaction is always the winner. But if the answer, like, you know, we're pre-programmed to be fucking, we were cavemen less than 20,000 years ago. I mean, like, you really think about the arch of the entire world is 4 billion, 10, you know, like, you know, 4 billion compared to 20,000 years is nothing. Like, it's like taking a football field and it's like the last millimeter of time is what that is. And we were that long ago, we were cavemen. So our bodies still haven't figured out how not to be cavemen.
From an evolutionary standpoint.
Yeah, because, you know, we were fighting wild animals. I mean, like the Revenant, you know, that movie, you know, maybe 100 years ago, but people were out in the wilderness fighting wild animals less than 100 years ago. It's insane to think that our bodies have adapted.
There weren't farms and delivery services and shit.
Can I tell you this, guys, this wild theory I have, and before I gotta go? So, you guys know the cuttlefish, right?
Yeah.
Mark?
Yeah, yes.
All right, do you know about the cuttlefish that pretends it's a woman over the woman and like accept the big dude's seed?
What? There's a fish that does that?
The cuttlefish.
No, it so fucking takes the nut.
It'll pretend to not take to be a female, and the big dudes, they lose their load, and the little dude's like, all right, he's lost his load. Let me swoop in and impregnate this thing to continue on my
genetics. Gets fucked in the ass.
Yeah.
He pretends to be a female, and then the load goes out, so that way the young buck can go and actually impregnate the females because he's draining the bank on Big Papa.
Yeah, but it's not big. It's not like the young buck's gonna become Big Papa. It's the young buck he's this equal age. But he's small. Weaker. He's weaker. So he has to use deception. And this is my theory, is nowadays masculinity is being deceptively changed into a negative.
Well, actually, the alpha male,
Danny, we can hear you.
The whole alpha male thing about who was bigger and shit like that, that's not even what that
But before I get the whole alpha male, that doesn't exist. What I'm saying is, people who are good at something like being big, and you know that was their way back in the day as a protector and all these different things.
I'm saying the same thing.
I'm just saying it's gone away in American culture.
I don't think that it has. It was ever really something. I don't think it was ever anything. Somebody being big or anything. I think that we don't copy alpha males. I don't think we copy who's big. I think we copy who can do the most in their community. And we always have who is the best fit at that time. So So if being deceptive is what is gonna get you to pass on your fucking seed, then that is that's whose seed is gonna be, you know? That's what we have.
But what I'm trying to say, the deception is not to the bigger male. It's not to this, it's to the person that provides, like this guy goes out and works every single day, he does all of these different things, and but what we consider as a masculinity now, or what was considered masculinity, you know, 40 years ago is now called patriarchy. Oh, he's a patriarch. He's a mansplainer. He's doing all these different things, and it's been pervasive. But who's really pushing these agendas? Is it the female of our species, or is it subtly the deceptive cuttlefish of our community taking in, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's just
can I give you a book recommendation to put down on on your Audible deal?
Yeah, you gotta have to text these to me because I'm terrible at remembering. But yes, okay. Both of them. What's up?
Oh, well, I'll put it on the podcast anyway in case any of the listeners want to know about it. But No More Mr. Nice Guy. That's also another book, and it kind of talks about what you're talking about. Essentially, like you're saying, like I think what. What? Sorry, Mark. I'm not trying to like contradict anything you're saying. I came in late. I think I got disconnected from something, so I might have missed like a lot of it. But I think what Fez is saying, from like an evolutionary standpoint, what made, like, for example, take humans, right? Homo sapiens, the first version of us, or whatever. During those times, what made an alpha male, or whatever, was like, you know, you were big, and if somebody else tried to have sex with your woman, you killed them because there wasn't a society. There was no rules. Like,
we don't know if that's true, though. We don't know if that's true.
How do we not know if that was true? I mean, that's the assumption we're going to operate off of.
That's not really.
Well, if you believe in the theory of evolution, we can look at chimpanzees and, you know, some of our closer primate relatives, and you look at how they behave in their primate societies.
I mean, the shit still happens today.
Wait. And what are you about to say? Martinez? What are you about to say, Fez?
What I'll say is when a bigger male is beaten out, oftentimes the new alpha will destroy its progeny, I think is the word I'm trying to, all of its offspring, and then create his own offspring. And now he raises an entire community around his own genetics. And that's
down what I'm thinking, like an easier way, like dumb down the size of the thing to understand it. It's like, yes, if you take back in time, humans are around, right? And let's say that it's early man time. There is no cops, there are no laws, nobody has morals, there's no Bibles that have been discovered or anything, right? You just wake up one day, you're like, what the fuck is this? Here's Earth, and I'm walking around. I feel like I gotta eat some shit. I don't even know what I can eat without killing me. I gotta do these things, right? They had to learn all of those processes. They had natural urges. They were like, hey, my dick wants to enter something. I need to do this thing. They didn't care because nobody was like, hey, killing that dude right there to have sex with that female right there is wrong. You know, nobody could say any, so they would do it. So it wasn't the other people that would be considered an alpha, right? The standard of like, what is an alpha? Like today, the alpha is like intellect, right? Because society has changed things, and money and all of those things is what women want, security and those things that the alpha is supposed to provide. And nowadays, that's the geek with the glasses and the six-figure salary. You know, it's not the dude that's real ripped at the gym driving.
I don't think it ever really was that dude. Again, I keep on going back to this. I don't think that we're accounting for the fact that survival isn't what the passing on of things is only that. So it's not always who's bigger. You guys keep cutting me off every time I get to this point, bro. It's not just that. It's whoever can get to it, whoever can weasel their way to survive. So just because, yeah, there's the idea that the biggest dude was able to scare everybody, doesn't mean that late at night that fucking tiny dude didn't sneak in and fuck her and then get her pregnant. That doesn't mean that didn't happen and deceive everybody. And then she gets pregnant and passes on. That doesn't mean that didn't happen. So that's what I'm saying. So these motherfuckers, it's not about just straight on face-to-face fruit. It's whoever can get their seed passed on. That is it. And that happened in any ways. So yeah, it's been the geeky motherfucker that's outsmarted everybody. And it's also been the biggest dudes. That's why all these motherfuckers exist, because everyone's been able to pass their shit on, or else nobody would be here. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. But as far as alpha is concerned, that's a societal thing, right? That is not that doesn't mean it. So when I say like an alpha male, like you can sneak in and have sex with the alpha male's woman, but that doesn't make you the alpha male. When the alpha male finds out about that, he is going to kill you. That's what makes him the alpha male.
Well, if we really look at the whole alpha wolf, alpha male comes from a book called like Wolf or something like that. And the dude wrote a book after that talking about saying that, hey, these were wolves that are in captivity. I was totally wrong. And that really, and we don't even copy wolves. We copy actually bonobos and chimpanzees. And the actual people that are alphas in their actually colonies are the people that breed each other and serve each other within the community the most, that offer the most services. That's who actually is. So it's like, that's not the biggest dude. That's what I've been trying
break
to say.
Break it down, Mark.
No, I'm not saying
we're not saying it's the biggest dude. We're just talking about from a, I think we're trying to tie in a timeline that's way past what you're thinking.
So what I'm trying to say is it's not so it's not the bigger dude. What I'm trying to say is, but there's in society, there's a pervasive deception that everything that men have been doing for X amount of years is now an incorrectness. And that's the pervasive thing the metaphor I was going for, not the actual alpha wolf, alpha male, bigger man, bigger this. What I'm saying is currently, if you can demonize a person's strength and all these other different things that they're doing well, and I'm not just talking like the big football player, I'm talking about the geeky guy who is a tech genius and
whatever the strength is at the time.
Whatever the strength is, and it's like, no, this is a terrible way to be.
Just because you have a
deep
voice.
You're not an ally to this cause.
And he doesn't have he happens to be a man and speaking in a room and he's straight. Now he's out of it. Okay, that's a problem. That's overfill. That's overspill. Yeah, no. Yeah. I hear you. That's overspill on the changes that some do need to happen. But like in Western society, I will say that the patriarchy has been an issue and has done some pretty much fucked up things to women and everybody else. And it's fucked up some shit for a while. So yeah, it is. But there is overspill. Now we have the fucking people that were in some ways by just natural shit were outcasts or just treated lame just because they were whatever the fuck they were and weren't able to do it. So, sometimes it was their race and their birthright, and sometimes it was just because you were whack, you know what I'm saying? And so we're seeing these people that there's overspill. True. So now
there's also people who are like, oh, this is because of this, and that's why I'm having a problem. Like, no, it's because
we're trying to explain everything about the way the world is, and we're ending this. I do think that this is a huge conversation that we should be having. I do think masculinity is being demonized in society right now, and that is whack.
Let's go ahead and end it.
This has been redeeming qualities of podcasts where not just how I don't even know what the saying was.
Fucked it all up.
Damn
ladies,
it. So
ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this evening's recording of the Redeeming Qualities podcast. Not how men speak, but how friends speak.
There
I'm Dirty
is.
Dan.
I'm Musty Mark.
And I'm Fat Ass Fez.
And we're out.